Now we're turning again to the second book of Chronicles and to chapter 26, where we read about the life story of King Uzziah. Life story of King Uzziah, a man who came to the throne, as the word of God says in verse 1. He was 16 years old when he was made king of Judah. And the Bible says he reigned 52 years in verse 3. In Jerusalem. I think it's the second longest reign of the kings. But I want to think with you today about this man, Uzziah. Now, of course, much is said in the Bible about kings. In the book of Proverbs, in Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 1, the Bible reminds us that the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. And again, we're reminded over there in the book of Psalms, in Psalm 75, I think it is, Psalm 75, and verse 6, it says, "For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another." And as you would read through the book of Chronicles and the book of Kings, we read about the success of line of kings in Judah and in Israel. And of course, not only is there much said in the Bible about kings, but there is much said about the subject of pride, and how that pride certainly cometh before a fall, and a haughty spirit before destruction. And sadly, in the life of King Uzziah, we find a king whose life became overcome by pride. Old Nicholson used to say, "Pride dug hell and damned the devil." And we've got to be very careful about pride if it enters into our heart and life. Uzziah, also sometimes called Azariah, and the meaning of his name is strength from Jehovah. Uzziah means strength from Jehovah. Azariah means help from Jehovah. And in verse 5, the Bible reminds us here that he sought God, and at the end of the verse says, God made him to prosper. Verse 7 says, God helped him. And the Bible reminds us that his name spread abroad. His name spread abroad. The one whose name means Jehovah is my help, or my strength, and help from Jehovah. Verse 15 also reminds us he was marvelously helped till he was strong. Now, one thing of was, I remember sitting in the theological hall of the Free Presbyterian Church many, many years ago, because I was ordained to the ministry in 1971. So that means I'm 50 years, if the Lord spares me to the month of December, 50 years as an ordained minister of the Free Presbyterian Church. If the Lord spares me to the 25th of September, I'm 50 years as a married man. And that's two anniversaries in my life in this year. But, you know, I remember sitting, listening to Dr. John Douglas, and he was teaching us the English Bible, and we were going through the kings of Israel and of Judah. And the one thing that struck me, sometimes Dr. Paisley used to say, "I wish a verse would jump out and speak to me." And the one thing that struck me as a young fella sitting there in the theological hall, as we read through these books and we read about the lives of kings, Judah and Israel, God summed up their lives very succinctly in just a few words. In verse 4, for instance, speaking about Uzziah, 2 Chronicles 26, "And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. And God sums up the lives of the kings of Israel and Judah in a little sentence. Either he did that which was right, or he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Uzziah made mistakes. Other kings made mistakes. But what God is saying overall and by and large throughout his life, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And there were others, and they may perhaps have had some good points, but the Bible says that overall they did that which was evil. And there are many who turned God's people away from the true worship of Jehovah and turned to idolatry and to wickedness. And so God sums up the life of Uzziah, and he says he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. I wonder, as God sums up my life and sums up your life, what would God say about us? Would God say, that person does that which was right in my sight, seeks to live for me? Well, I want to think with you of some very simple thoughts about the life of Uzziah. Notice, first of all, what I have called the conversion he experienced. And I know conversion therapy is in the headlines in these days, but I'm speaking here about old-fashioned conversion. And the Bible says there in verse 5, he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding of the visions of God. During the ministry of the prophet Zechariah, Uzziah, as a young person, sought God, and he was converted. He had saving faith in the Lord. And he could tell you the time, and he could tell you the place, and he could speak about the preacher used in his conversion. He sought the Lord in the days of Zechariah. Every time, and I drive up and down the road many times, I drive down the Ravenhill Road in Belfast, and I'm on my way maybe to the motorway, and I come past the old Ravenhill Free Presbyterian Church. And I know my wife and my children are probably tired of me saying, that's where I was saved. That's where I was born again, in there, in the kitchen. I had a chair in the kitchen in the old Ravenhill Free Presbyterian Church. I sought the Lord, and the burden of my heart rolled away. And thank God I passed from death unto life, from sin and Satan unto God. I sought the Lord on the 21st of February, 1965. Well, Uzziah could tell you the time and the place and the preacher, the time of his conversion. He, as the old hymn says, he stepped out on the promise and he got under the blood, and he was converted to Christ. But you'll notice there in verse 5 that he who trusted the promise of God, in verse 5 says, he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. He prospered as long as he sought the Lord. I remember going home, and my parents were both saved. Thank God for that, for a Christian home, a Christian family. Telling them I was saved. They bought me a Bible. It was a Thompson Chain Reference Bible. And they put a verse of scripture in the inside cover. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And friend, when you and I are saved and we believe the promise of God, we will prosper as long as we seek the Lord. Isn't it interesting that people are complaining and they talk about this conversion therapy and they don't want anyone to pray with someone that their life might be changed? Zechariah preached the word of God. And the Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So there was the element of the preaching, the hearing of the word of God. And then the Bible says, Uzziah sought the Lord. He was exercising faith in what he heard. And as he exercised faith in what he heard, he prayed and he sought the Lord in prayer. That's the way men and women are saved. It was a characteristic of Saul of Tarsus. Came to Christ on the road to Damascus. And God said to Ananias, Ananias, I want you to go and lay your hands on him. And the scales of blindness that are upon him, they'll fall from his eyes and he will see. And Ananias says, Lord, do you not know about this man? He's a blasphemer. He's a persecutor. He's injurious against your church. And God said, ah, but behold, he prayeth. He has sought the Lord. And I'm going to make him an instrument in my hand. I'm going to use him for good. Problem in the life of Uzziah was this, just like his grandfather. His grandfather depended upon Jehudiah, or depended upon the high priest. And when the high priest died, he, as it were, went to pieces. And with the passing of Zechariah, he acted, what we might say, adversely to divine instruction. And that can happen. That's why we have to take our eyes off men. Remember the church in Corinth? Some people say, well, I like Paul. And others said, I like Apollos. And somebody asked, well, I like Cephas or Peter. And there was a division in the church, and they were looking, they were keeping their eyes on men. But the Bible says there in Hebrews chapter 12, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of the faith. If we look to men, men will fail us, because men at best are only men. But if we seek the Lord in this wonderful conversion that we have experienced, that we have come to Christ, and we're like those Bereans who were faithful and who sought the scriptures, and we seek the Lord day by day and we look on to Jesus, then thank God, the Lord will indeed bless us. So when you think about Uzziah, you think about the conversion he experienced. What you notice secondly, what I have called the consecration he enjoyed. The Bible says there in verse 7, and God helped him. Bible says in verse 6, he went forth and warred against the Philistines. Now, we see his consecration. First of all, he was a soldier. And he went into the conflict in order that he might protect his land. He was the king. He was the sovereign. But he was the head of the army. He was a soldier. He was the captain, as the Lord Jesus is the captain of our salvation. He was the head of the army in the conflict. And he went out to protect his people. The Bible says there in verse 11, moreover, Uzziah had a host of fighting men that went out by bands, according to the number of their account by the hand of Jael, the scribe of Maaseiah, the ruler, under the hand of Hananiah. The whole number of the mighty men were 2,600. So there were 2,600 mighty men. And they led a great army. And we read on there in verse 13, and under their hand was an army 300,000, 7,500. So it was the 107,500 mighty men who made war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. You know, Paul says, Timothy, my son, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. One of the first things I remember as a young man of 17 getting saved, remember Dr. Paisley in the old Ravenhill Church saying, remember friends, Christianity is not like children in a playground. Christianity is soldiers on the battleground. And we're called to contend earnestly for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. We're called to be soldiers in the Lord's army. And his army, Uzziah had a great number. And he blessed that army with the weapons of warfare. The Bible says in verse 14, Uzziah prepared for them throughout all the host shields, spears, helmets, habergarns, that is, coats of mail, and bows and slings to cast stones. He gave them, as it were, the armor to wear. Paul says, put on the whole armor of God, that you might be able to stand in the evil day. He gave them the weapons of warfare. In verse 15, he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be upon the towers and upon the bulwarks, to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. He was consecrated, and he became a soldier in the Lord's army. But you'll notice also, he became a builder. Verse 9 says, moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem, at the corner gate, and at the valley gate, and at the turning of the wall, and fortified. He built towers, verse 10, in the desert. He was a soldier in the conflict. He's a builder in the construction. And he's making progress. And he's defending his land. You see, in his father's time, there was a problem. And his father could not seem to conquer certain people. But as soon as Uzziah took the throne, the Bible says in verse 6, he went forth and he warred against the Philistines. And he went out against the ancient enemies of God's people. And he was determined that he would conquer them. And later on, you read about those who paid tribute or who gave gifts to him. He subdued them. He was a soldier. But he built towers to defend the people and they might make progress. And then also to provide for them. In verse 10, he's a farmer in his cultivation. He built towers in verse 10 in the desert. He digged many wells, for he had much cattle, both in the low country and in the plains. Husbandmen also, and vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel, for he loved husbandry. You know, in the scriptures, we have to put on the whole armor of God because we are soldiers and the fight for Christianity. I remember listening one day and as Dr. Kearns was taking to us in theology, and he was saying, Christianity always has been, always will be an embattled faith. That stuck in my mind. Christianity always has been, it is, and it always will be an embattled faith. And we are soldiers. But Jesus said, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And we have to be builders, co-workers with Christ, seeking to build up the church of Christ. But we've got to be like the farmer, like the sower. We've got to sow the seed. We've got to be like the husbandman that James talks about, who will first be partaker of the fruits. And so as Uzziah consecrated himself, and he enjoyed that time of consecration. He was strengthened, verse 8 says. He prospered, verse 5 says. He conquered, verse 8. But sadly, he fell. He fell. We would ask God that the things that we read in the Word of God and the good things that men do and the right things that they follow after, and the zeal that they have for the truth, that we follow after them. But if they make mistakes, then we learn from them, and we step back and ask God, Lord, help me not to make the same mistake. Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, Romans 12, 1 and 2, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So we think of the conversion he experienced. We think of the consecration he enjoyed. But let's think for a moment about the crime he executed. Every time I read there, in the Epistle to the Hebrews. It's a challenge to our heart. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1, the Apostle Paul writes to the Hebrew believers, he says, "Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip." We ought to give the more earnest heed, lest at any time we should let them slip. That's an exhortation. That's a wee word of warning for preacher and hearer alike. Because here's a man, Uzziah. He had sought the Lord. He had, as it were, sanctified himself. He had set himself apart. He had strengthened the land. He had built the towers. He had planted the vineyards. He had dug the wells. Everything was going well. But you notice the season of his crime. Verse 16 says, "But when he was strong." Now, any man, any woman, we can fall. And the Bible reminds us in the book of Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, it says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault," it means if a man or a woman or a young person, if they be overtaken in a fault, it says, "Ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest ye also be tempted." Someone once said, unfortunately, the Church of Christ and the Christian army was the only army that buried its wounded. Someone falls, someone stumbles. We're to try and restore them, considering ourselves, lest we also be tempted. But you'll notice when he was strong, then the temptation came. There's many a man or woman, and when they've got to that point in their life, in their career, when they think we have arrived, they can be ruined by their prosperity. They can lose their spirituality. Someone once said, "It takes a steady hand to hold a full cup." And God had blessed Uzziah. And as long as he sought the Lord, he prospered. But the scripture says, when he was strong, his heart was lifted up. Pride in his heart. Nicholson, as I said it was pride that dug hell and damned the devil. You remember those words in Isaiah chapter 14 and in verse 12. The word of God says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning," speaking about Satan. He was one of the great angels in heaven, one who led the very praise and worship of Jehovah in glory. "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart," pride in his heart, "I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit." Satan was cast out. Pride filled his heart. He wanted to usurp God's throne. He wanted to take God's place, and he was cast out. You know, that was a sin of Satan. That was a sin of Pharaoh. Pride was in Pharaoh's heart, and Moses said, "God says, let my people go." And Pharaoh says, "Who is the Lord that I should serve him?" That was a sin in Sennacherib when he came with his armies against Jerusalem. That was a sin in the heart of Nebuchadnezzar when he too came against God's people. And the season of his crime was when he was strong. And the reason for his crime was the pride in his heart. Oh, beloved, let's beware of foolish pride. There used to be an old fellow went about the city of Belfast around the mission halls, and he's a real character. But if he started to pray, if he started to preach, he would say, "I'm only an old sinner and nothing at all. But Jesus Christ is my all in all." That's all we are. We're only sinners saved by grace. And the treason of his crime, it was a rebellious, independent spirit that he thought he could do as he pleased. No matter how long we are on the road, no matter how long we are saved, it is only as we seek God and walk with God, as Enoch walked with God and had that testimony that he pleased God. It's only as we walk with God and walk in obedience to his word that we prosper and are blessed. Judas betrayed the Lord. Sadly, Peter, the child of God, denied the Lord. It was the same with Uzziah. He sold out to self. And he tried to do what the other heathen kings of the East did. They exercised a priestly role as well as a royal function. But he wanted to go in and to burn incense in the house of the Lord. The Bible says, at the end of verse 16, he went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And what you notice just as we close, the consequence he endured. Thank God for faithful men in the priest's office. And in that contention, oh, here's a man who could conquer countries. Here's a man who could conquer his enemies. But he could not contend or conquer the spirit-filled, consecrated men of God who were upholding God's command that day in the temple. And Uzziah went in and he wanted to burn incense. That was not his role. That was not his job. That was not his calling. That was for the priest. And the Bible says that Azariah, verse 17, the priest went in after him, and with 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men. Verse 18, they withstood the king. They withstood Uzziah the king. And they said unto him, "It appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests unto the Lord, the sons of Aaron that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed. Neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord." He overstepped the mark. He thought he could just do as he pleased. And even while he did so, we see the curse in verse 19. Uzziah was wroth. He had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priest, a leprosy rose up on his forehead before the priest. He became a leper. The Lord smote him, and he became a leper. And I'm so thankful that at least in verse 20, it says, Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked upon him. Behold, he was leprous in his forehead, and they thrust him out from thence. And listen to these wee words. Yea, himself hasted also to go out, because the Lord has smitten him. We see his contention with God's men. We see the curse of God that came upon him as the Lord smote him with leprosy. But thank God for the conscience. You know, Paul talks about a conscience seared with a hot iron. Conscience that doesn't feel anything anymore. But thank God this man had a conscience. And God was still in his life. And he himself hasted to go out. And the censure was that he remained a leper until the day of his death. He dwelt, verse 21, he's no longer in the king's palace. He dwelt in a several house, or another house, a place where the lepers were, being a leper. For he was cut off from the house of the Lord. And Jonathan, his son, was over the king's house, judging the people. He dwelt in the several house, in a leper colony. And he who had such great start, such a great as it were, time going forth with God, and God strengthening him and blessing him and helping him. As it were, he threw it all away. And he dwelt there, lonely, cut off from the royal duties. Surely it's a warning to us all not to step out of our lawful calling, not to create disorder or to play the fool, but to keep on keeping on that consecrated walk with God, because he sought the Lord, and as long as he sought the Lord, verse 5 says, God made him to prosper. May the Lord help us to prosper in our Christian walk, in our Christian life, by staying close to him.